Good. Well, welcome again this morning. If you're joining us, wherever you're joining us, whether it's live or whether you're watching back for this, you're welcome. And I really appreciate you dialing in and joining us to kind of learn this particular tool. At the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the new year, I talked about toolbox and what the tools that you might have in your toolbox in the natural. And then I equated that to the spiritual and just talked about, getting maybe a fresh tool or a new tool. And this cycling series that we're talking about, this tool of cycling is exactly that. It's something that you need to understand, then you need to figure out how to make it work, how it works for you, when it works, when you need it, and then you need to start to become a master of it. And we talked a little bit about a learning ladder when you're learning anything new, and said that yes, to begin with, you become aware, reading from the bottom up. To begin with, you become aware of something, your need for something, or your desire to learn something new. Then you choose, you make a choice to say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go on this journey. I'm going to learn Spanish, or I'm going to learn to swim the butterfly, or I'm whatever. And then it's awkward. You're in a difficult phase. You think, I wish I'd never started this. I don't want to give up on it. But I put too much effort into this. I've got to keep going. That's really difficult. But if you keep practicing, you will improve. And then it starts to become natural. And that's what we want this to become for you. We want this tool to be a natural go-to first port of call. Thing, not just something that you think, oh yeah, I remember, yeah, remember listening to something about that. That's really the first step. That's just to be aware. But if you're gonna make this a living tool, it's got to be functioning. You've got to practice. You've got to work it in, and it's patience. It's hard work. It's not necessarily easy, but it's okay. It's not a race. Life is not a race, and just like fitness or anything else in life, diet. If you choose, rather than just saying on a crash diet, you choose a lifestyle and say, you know what, I'm going to start eating in a different way. I'm going to start putting stuff into my body in a different way. It's slow, but it's incremental, and it changes the way you view the world. And hopefully, this will do too. Let me recap. If you haven't been following us and you're a little bit new, we talked about that this was a tool that Jesus used, and how he cycled. We then looked about how you start to become aware of your low grade fever, as we called it, your kind of background emotional state, whether that be anxiety. Whether that might be sort of a feeling of sadness or fear, whether you're frustrated constantly with life and people, or whether you're just plain maybe angry more often than you like to admit it. And that's fine. Okay, God can handle that. We might not be able to handle that. You might want to put your best foot forward, and we all do that. I'm here dressed matching Tanya, no shoes, but I'm shaved and I'm on my right mind, and I'm projecting this view of myself. But this isn't all of me. This isn't the complete picture. And there are times when I'm not like this, when I'm frustrated, where I'm struggling, where I'm down, where I'm so we all try and put the best picture of ourselves forward, but God knows, and God wants to help. So once you've identified what that is, then we talked about catching it early, identifying quickly. Oh, hold on a minute, I'm starting to slide, and then putting these principles into practice. Cycling, that golden moment where you decide, am I going to do this myself, or am I going to try and connect with God? And it's okay to get it wrong, to not get it, to think about it and then not do it. These are all the steps, the awkward steps of making it a lifestyle and putting that work in. And then you're going to have a time when you think, oh, I've got that, it's brilliant. And then another time when it's completely, oh, you know, I'm nowhere with it. We, Tanya and I, and others have been working on this for a number of years, and you know, it is as much as that sounds a very long time, it's the reality. You know, we've known about it, we've talked about it, we've encouraged one another, and slowly but surely it starts to become more of a priority. I mean, Jesus in John 5:19, I think I've got that here on my phone. Jesus says, "I can do nothing." Let me see, I've got every version but the one I want. Right, here we go. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." In another versions, in most versions, it says, "Truly, truly," or "Verily, verily." You know, he's trying to kind of emphasize it. "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." People were trying to challenge Jesus and catch him in committing the sin of blasphemy, which was the sin of saying the making yourself equal with God, which was how the Jews saw it. Anyone who's making themselves equal with God, and Jesus categorically says, "No, I'm not. That's not where I'm at." And you know, if you read the passage in Philippians, the beginning of Philippians 2, it says, "Being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, and being made and found in human likeness, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." That was that's the Jesus that we're dealing with, fully human, living what we're living, which is a life limited by his humanity, having set aside his divinity, and therefore needing to be filled constantly. And if you carry on reading through John's gospel, John 5, before this, he says, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." John 6 says, "I have not come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Very similar again. Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak exactly what the Father has taught me." John 12 says, "I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has commanded me to say what to say and how to say it." John 12 says, I know that his commands lead to eternal life, so I speak exactly what the Father has told me to say. And then at the end, John 14, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own. Instead, it is the Father dwelling in me, performing his works." So you can see this life is one of understanding that we can do nothing on our own, which is good. "Yes, I can't" is a great statement to learn. Yep, I can't. You know what? Unless he fills me, unless he equips me, unless he empowers me, unless he fills me, I have nothing. I have nothing for myself to balance myself. I also have nothing for those around me. And that's good, although it's a sort of challenging, it's where Jesus, he emptied himself, and we need to empty ourselves, of how much we think we can do, and be filled with how much he can do. This tool that we're talking about keeps you connected with God. And when Jesus was being tempted and being challenged and being attacked by the enemy, he connected with God. He continued to connect with God. He continued to cycle. He continued to say, "God, what do you think? Not my will, but what you think. And there's a verse there that says, "And the enemy left him because waited until a more opportune time." And really what you can take from that is that when you are connected to heaven, you are protected. You are not an easy prey for the enemy to be played around with, because you have a connection. And sometimes I like to think of it as like we've got lots of little sort of handles all over us, and it's very easy if people kind of know those handles. Some people might call them triggers in today's parlances, but effectively they're something that someone can grab a hold of, or the enemy can grab a hold of and give you a good shake, and you're all over the place. Well, when you are connected with heaven, you are in a protected bubble, and those things are he's not able to easily do that. And so, you know, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to demonstrate how we can reconnect with the Father, how we can live in connection with the Trinity, how we can remain connected, remain protected, remain balanced, and in being infilled by him, we can then love others around us. So that's the totality of what we're trying to achieve today. But there are some obstacles. There are things that we touched on a little bit last week. The first two or three we talked about, which was that, you know, you might be completely unaware that there's anything wrong with you. I'm normal, and I'm pretty normal, and everyone else is weird around me. You know, I don't have any problems in life, and, you know, kind of what you're going on about. It's interesting, when we started this, some people say, oh, I'm not anxious. No, I'm not anxious about anything. I'm not frustrated. And then slowly start to recognize, you know what, I actually think maybe I've lived with this so long that I've just thought it's normal. And I don't even know what it is to live free of anxiety or fear or frustration. So the first thing is that you're unaware of it. And we talked about monitoring that. The second thing is that you forget to do it. And that's okay. You know, life is busy. Life, there's lots going on. And sometimes as Christians, we also bombard ourselves with so many things that we have to do. We've got to read this. We've got to listen to that. We've got to remember to do this. We said we'd do this. And sometimes even the busyness of life is a challenge. Write something up. Have I cycled today? Have I thought about it today? Have I tried it? Have I remembered it? Sometimes we're blocked by pride, which is like, I've got this, I don't need this nonsense, this cycling, whatever jazz they were talking about. It's fine. I can handle it. I know what to do. I've done this before. And we cut God out of the equation because we think we've got it. And usually we fall on our face. You know, the Bible says, take captive every thought that sets itself up against God, against the knowledge of God, against the need for God, against the fact that we can't without him. You know, without him, I can do nothing. And, you know, we use all sorts of arguments. Oh, he's given us a brain and all the rest of it. Yeah, he's given us a brain. He's given us a brain to connect with him so that we can hear his thoughts and we can process what he's saying to us. He hasn't given us a brain so that we can disconnect from him and do it ourselves. If you've got any worries about where that leads, start reading the beginning of the Bible and see how far it got the first couple of humans. So we should take some wisdom from that. And tell pride to shut up and ask the Father, what do you think in that situation? So let me go on to another obstacle quickly. And that is a big one, which is, it seems like this doesn't work. I've tried it. Okay, I've given it a go. I've done the steps. I've and nothing happened. So I get that. Whether you're trying something new, it's difficult. You know, you think, oh, I'm never going to get this, or what's the point of this? You know, there has to be a driving reason for this. And, you know, to begin with, the reason might be you want to get in control of your own emotions. You might want to stop the anxiety. You might want to try and get in control of what it feels like when your emotions are running out of control. There's nothing worse than feeling scared or fearful or depressed, you know. We're not ourselves when we are feeling all of those things. So that could be it. But over and above that, there is also, how do I love people? How do I remain connected with people? So the motivating factor is thinking of someone who you love and thinking of how easy it is to, even when you know them and love them, to get it wrong. And I watched a film last night and it was interesting. It was a kind of, there were three members of this family and they were all misinterpreting each other. The mother didn't understand how much the son loved her. The son didn't quite figure out where the father's attentions. The father, you know, this was just one little family, and you saw that there were so many missed opportunities and misinterpreted opportunities. So you've got to get a kind of a reason for doing this. But yeah, sometimes it feels like it doesn't work, and so keep at it. Keep working at it. Maybe you can say, well, I don't think I can hear from God. You know, that's the first thing I say, Father, what do you think? And I'm not sure what I'm hearing. And I start to argue, is that God? Isn't that God? Let me make it simple for you, because I'm a simple kind of guy. I think there are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of God, and there isn't anything else. And a thought that starts the process in your mind comes from one of those kingdoms. It either comes from the kingdom of God or not the kingdom of God. And if you make it that digital, it becomes slightly easier. So when you say to God, and I would say this, if this is you, if you're struggling to hear or you don't think that you're hearing from God, then do this exercise. Take a moment, take a bit of time when you've got just a window of opportunity, and just say, God, what do you think of me? And then wait. And then hear what the next thing you hear coming into your mind. Hear, is that God or not God? When we've done this exercise, and when we do this exercise, the vast majority, if not 100% of people, hear something from heaven, which is God saying to them what he thinks of them. And so that's a bit of homework to do. So you might start to argue about, is this God or isn't this God? Of course you're going to have an argument, because ultimately the enemy does not want you connecting with heaven, because you will be protected, you will get a different perspective, you will start to be filled with what you need to navigate through this world, and you'll be able to be victorious through it and be able to love others. All of the things that the enemy does not want you to do. So there's a wrestling match for you to even do this. You know, it's okay, but you can argue, or you can say, God, I'm trusting you. I believe you will take responsibility. I believe you are bigger than anything. And if you want to talk to me, you will talk to me. And so I want to listen, and listen with faith. Listen believing that he's going to speak. Listen believing that he's going to tell you what you need. If you like, that's the kind of, it's not working for the intellect. You can say, well, how does it work for the emotions? You know, we talk about, I'm waiting for this emotion to come, and I'm not sure that I need any emotion, or it's having any effect. We're very trained for circumstances to change our perception of life. And so a lot of our prayers are praying, please God, change these circumstances. I haven't got a job. I need a job, because if I had a job, I'd feel happy. And that might be the case. But what God is trying to get us to is, regardless of whether you've got a job or not a job, he can give you the motion that you need. So rather than it being all about life giving you what you want to make you feel happy, you start to, because that's a sort of very, it's a sort of juvenile, infantile thing. It's like a McDonald's Happy Meal. It's sort of, well, I'm really happy because I've got a Happy Meal, but now I need another Happy Meal and another Happy Meal, and you're on a turntable. It's better to get to a place where you can be happy and you can be content despite the circumstances, in spite of all of the circumstances. What we tend to do is say, well, when this happens, I do this. And then I get myself right. And so we've got a lot of coping mechanisms, and some of them are quite good, but they're still coping mechanisms. And you'll find that even a lot of the advice around mental health, you know, get outside, go for a walk, look at nature, be grateful. You know, yes, I think they're all good things, but they're all a kind of coping mechanism, because what people can't say is, connect with God, and he will bring you the emotion that you need, which will balance you. We said at the beginning, life does not shape you. It's your reaction to life that shapes you. It's your reactions to situations. We were just walking, Tanya and I, just yesterday, met someone, and they made a joke about Tanya's glasses. I think I couldn't figure out quite what they were joking about. But, you know, you've got two choices. You either feel offended, you take offense, you say, I don't want to speak to that person again. I can't believe they said that. You know, that was very rude. And you react badly, and then you tell someone else about it, and you try and kind of, you know, or you say, okay, Lord, it's not the end of the world, you know. What do you think about this? And, you know, allow him to say, actually, they're just very awkward individuals, and they were just trying to connect, and they were just trying to be friendly. And sometimes that looks, feels, and sounds like an insult rather than what they're trying to do. And you go, yeah, you know, I've said some stupid things as well. And suddenly you're free of that situation. You move on. That's how we move from being perpetually damaged to being free and living free in this world. If you're kind of if you're struggling with the kind of what the emotion might feel like that God is sending you, I'll let me just go through those, and then we'll leave it at this, because I've given you quite a lot of information. But if it's anxiety that is your low grade fever, and you've identified that, then what you need is peace. What you require is life to be calm, and you try and force it to be calm by managing it often, or worrying about it, or trying to control it. But actually, when God sends you that peace that passes understanding, you suddenly let out a kind of, you relax, you feel settled. The emotion that you will get is one of, okay, that's going to be, you know, that's the feeling. You might let out a yawn or a sigh, because that's the emotion filling you up. If you're fearful, if you are, if you need security, if you need to be safe, and this world isn't giving you that, then, you know, it's his perfect love that drives out all fear. And that for you might feel like you're being wrapped in a duvet, or snuggled, or, you know, I don't do it, but if you sit in your pajamas on your sofa and you know, that feeling of, oh, you know, being enveloped, being hugged, being given a warm hug, that's what that emotion will feel like and start to feel like as you identify as God is giving you that. If you're angry and you know, you need joy, you need to be happy, he will give you the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you might start to, you're happy, you're relieved, you're carefree again, you're not burdened. That's a bit more like me. And maybe you're frustrated and you're losing, and life isn't giving you the wins that you need or the victory that you desire. The emotion that God gives you is one called faith, which is, you get in the win before you've even, you won before you've even won. You know, you now know it's going to be okay, even when nothing's changed. So those are some of the ways in which, as you start that cycling process and you hear from God, Father, what do you think? And then, Jesus, I trust you for the emotions. Please send me the emotions that I need to balance myself so I can continue to agree with the Father. Those are some of the tools you'll need. And you might not have all these obstacles, but as we've got, when we complete the kind of list, I think there's seven and we've done four, you'll see maybe that one and that one are me, and you can work on those. But you know, we continue to work with this tool, we continue to get our head around it, we continue to figure out how to use it. And don't be discouraged. If you're starting this, you're on the very early stages of something. But let me encourage you, if you get to grips with it, if you implement it in your life, if you make it a lifestyle, it will create a freedom for you to live in this world like never before. You will be bomb-proof in that sense, that circumstances won't change you, people's attitude towards won't change you, and you will have a connection with heaven that means that you have a confidence that you can hear from him on every situation and that he's for you. And you know, that makes an incredible difference. If you see how Jesus, the security that he had in his identity of who he was, knowing that the Father was for him, knowing that he was doing only what the Father was enabling him to do, it made for an amazing life. And Jesus wasn't just a wonderful person who managed to be able to do it because he happened to be God. He was just like you and me, but decided that he was going to live a connected life, and that made the difference. Let me pray for you. Pray for us. I'm still working on this. I'm ahead of you, but I'm not in any way perfected this. I still forget. I still don't go through all the points. I still argue, but I am pressing on because I believe that this is making a difference in my life and the life of those around me. So Father, I thank you that Jesus, you came and showed us this way. You emptied yourself of everything that was divine, and you came in human form as a vessel, and you were filled by the Father. You were filled with the will of the Father. You were filled with the thoughts of the Father. You were filled with the words of the Father and the actions of the Father. And at the end of your life, you were able to say, I've showed you the Father. I've put a face on the Father. And all, that's what we want to do in this world. We want to be those who are representatives of you. We want to be ambassadors of your kingdom. We want to be those who can say, it's not me, but when he fills me, I can love anyone. When he fills me, I can do it. I can climb a wall. I can bend a bow of bronze. When he fills me, I can love and be loved and be secure and be free and be balanced. And Father, I thank you that today you do that for each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.